brass rope round my neck, like he was roping a calf. He jerked it tight, cutting my breath. The noose poked into my neck like burrs, and fear crawled up through my legs into my belly. I caught a look at all three of them boys. I remember thinking none of them was much older than me, but their eyes was flat and mean. "We gonna teach you a lesson about bothering white ladies," said the one holding the rope. That was the last thing them boys said to me. I don't like to talk much about what happened next, 'cause I ain't looking for no pity party. That's just how things was in Louisiana in those days. Mississippi, too, I reckon. Since a couple of years later, folks started telling the story about a young colored fella named Emmett Till who got beat till you couldn't tell who he was no more. He whistled at a white woman, and some other good old boys, seemed like them woods was full of them, didn't like that one iota. They beat that boy till one of his eyeballs fell out, then tied a cotton gin fan round his neck, throwed him off a bridge into the Tallahatchie River. Folks say, if you was to walk across that bridge today, you could still hear that drowned young man crying out from the water. There was lots of Emmett Tills. Only most of them didn't make the news. Folks says the bayou in Red River Parish is full to its pea-green brim with the splintery bones of colored folks that white men done fed to the gators for coveting their women. Or maybe just looking cross-eyed. Wasn't like it happened every day, but the chance of it, the threat of it, hung over the cotton field like a ghost. I worked them fields for nearly 30 years, like a slave. Even though slavery had supposedly ended when my grandma was just a girl, I had a shack I didn't own, two pairs of overalls I got on credit, a hog, and an outhouse. I worked them fields, planting and plowing and picking and giving all the cotton to the man that owned the land, all without no paycheck. I didn't even know what a paycheck was. It might be hard for you to imagine, but I worked like that while the seasons rolled by from the time I was a little bitty boy all the way past the time that president named Kennedy got shot dead in Dallas. All them years. There was a freight train that used to roll through Red River Parish on some tracks right out there by Highway 1. Every day, I hear whistle and moan, and I used to imagine it calling out about the places it could take me, like New York City or Detroit, where I heard a colored man could get paid, or California, where I heard nearly everybody that breathed was stacking up paper money like flapjacks. One day, I just got tired of being poor, so I walked out to Highway 1, waited for that train to slow down some, and jumped on it. I didn't get off till the doors opened up again, which happened to be in Fort Worth, Texas. Now, when a black man who can't read, can't write, can't figure, and don't know how to work nothing but cotton comes to the big city, he don't have too many of what white folks call career opportunities. That's how come I wound up sleeping on the streets. I ain't gonna sugarcoat it. The streets will turn a man nasty. And I've been nasty, homeless, in scrapes with the law, in Angola prison, and homeless again for a lot of years by the time I met Miss Debbie. I want to tell you this about her. She was the skinniest, nosiest, pushiest woman I had ever met, black or white. She was so pushy, I couldn't keep her from finding out my name was Denver. She investigated till she found it out on her own. For a long time, I tried to stay completely out of her way. But after a while, Miss Debbie got me to talking about things I don't like to talk about and telling things I ain't never told nobody, even about them three boys with the rope. Some of them things I'm fixing to tell you.